I have some books I need to give away. Is there anybody that doesn't like books? Raise their hand so I don't make sure I don't give you one. Okay. How should we do this? We did it earlier. Not to embarrass anybody, but if there's anybody struggling right now or going through a tough time emotionally or whatever, you raise your hand. This book, Five Secrets of Peace in a Storm, by Ruthie Jacobson. The reason I have a lot of her books is she was one of my mentors. That's how I learned a lot. She first came to a prayer retreat out in northern New England, out in Maine, and that's where I got to meet her and become friends with her, and then Dennis Smith, and they kind of collaborated and stuff. So since Pastor Smith retired, I'd like to see if we can't get him out here. He's been really gifted with the Holy Spirit. He's written 11 or 12 books called Spirit Baptism and Prayer, Spirit Baptism and Deliverance, Spirit Baptism and End Time Prophecies, that kind of stuff. But somebody can see me afterwards if they want. I have those. Here's a fun one. I got a few of these to give out. Somebody else can pass them out. How many people here would like to have some more ideas of what maybe we could do in the church or ministry? Anybody interested in that? Okay, those two hands went up first, quick. This is, sure, thank you. Give Tony one there. They're called Bridges 101, and it's kind of fun. It shows you that if you're in tune to the Lord and you're looking for reasons, if you're intentional to help people, Ruthie starts off with a story. She had a bathroom party. Now, how many people here would have a bathroom party? and you'll laugh, they had their house remodeled. The guy that did their bathrooms and stuff, he was an independent little contractor, and he made a simple comment to Ruthie and Don that, "Boy, you know, my wife never sees my work. I always do this stuff, but she never sees the finished product. You're beautiful." She says, "Well, why don't you invite her over and we'll have a little party and have friends. We'll have a bathroom party." I forgot the numbers as far as how many showed up at the house. They had food and stuff downstairs. But I remember there was seven or eight were in the bathroom at one time in the shower and stuff, looking at this great work that the guy did. And out of that, they ended up getting some Bible studies, and then some people got baptized. But they have all types of little brainstorming ideas. So it's kind of a fun book to read rather than intense. Anybody that doesn't have a copy, I got three copies left. I need to get rid of them. Okay, and one for Christy. All right. You bet. I'll let Ruthie know that she's still ministering. For those who don't know Ruthie Jacobson, she's the North American Division Prayer Coordinator for all of North America. Still in her 70s, husband's in the 80s. I guess you people in Oregon probably know him. I've heard people from Oregon, make negative comments. Yeah, he was. Now, give me an idea so I can give another book away. Who should I give a book away to? Anybody got an idea? The oldest person here. Boy, you're going to get me in trouble saying that one. Yeah, but there's other people, and I don't know who's who. I don't know this church. How about something else? So, okay, who's attended all of these? This is their fourth one for the weekend. Been here every time. Okay, out of those raised hands, let's see, how do we do this? Raise your hands up, and I'll do what Diane said. We'll take the youngest. So raise your hands and look around. Who's the youngest? Who's that? Chantel, is that right? Under 50. This is 50 people every Christian should know. kind of a fun book too, just a little history book. And then you can pass these books on after you read them. That way everybody in the church will get one. I need to get started here. But I got two special gifts, so I'll see how the Lord leads me to do this. Now, someone here was telling me they like Bill Liversidge. I can't remember who that was. Who was that? Was that Jim that liked him? Does he have the Victory in Jesus book? Okay. What about you, Tony? You know who Bill Liversidge is? You want to know who Bill Liversidge is? Okay. All right. Well, we'll get the praise team up. We'll get started. We'll sing a few songs. Rejoice in the Lord, huh? Yeah, anybody's here. Now, don't tell me you had too much food. You can't sing now. If you believe this song, sing it like you mean it. Go for it, Sister Jerry. I got this. Thanks.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Amen.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you.
Amen. You want to be filled? Amen.
But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with fear and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. In Psalm 34:17 it says, The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles.
Amen. I would just like to add one thing. I know there's people with hurting hearts. This song, He Will Carry You, when you see the words to it, this song is for you personally. These are promises. Every line of this song is a promise from a loving God to you. Just trust Him and give Him time. Isn't that a beautiful song of promise? Those are words worth cherishing. We all go through valleys of life, right? We all have them. And we all have mountaintop experiences, too. We like those better. But the valley ones are the ones that are really fitting us for heaven. Father God, we thank you again for music. We thank you for those willing to use that gift. I thank you for that praise team, Father, here, the dedication and commitment to you to sing and worship you in song. Again, we invite your Holy Spirit to continue with us now, Lord, as we go through this. Continue to open our hearts and minds. Most of all, Lord, wherever we have a wrong desire, please reveal that to us, and may we be willing to surrender that to you, that we'll have all the right desires in our heart. So when you come, we're ready for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm lift up my voice of warning, for the work has not made a beginning in many places, but many hindrances have been suggested where the Lord designed only encouragement. Urgency should be given, and these hindrances are to be removed. That's talking about all types of hindrances. But today we're going to talk about what things get in the way of our prayer. The good news is that you may see things here that you didn't realize were hindering your prayers. And you might say, they really haven't hindered my prayers. That's the grace of God, because when we're ignorant, what does He do? He winks. But when we're not ignorant, does He wink anymore? different story. That's the God we serve. So we can say amen to that. Hindrance is a stopping or preventing, a means of cause of hindering, an obstruction, a restraint, or an obstacle. In the context of prayer, quote, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's look at some hindrances to our prayers according to the biblical record. Selfish prayers, petitioning God for our own selfish motives. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So amiss means out of the proper course of order, in a faulty manner, wrongly or improper. Now a lot of us, it's good to pray for our loved ones. It's good to pray for the things that we pray for. But what we need to remember and add and to examine ourselves again when I'm praying, is it because I just want this? I want my wife to be healed. I want this. Or do I want her to be healed so I now can share more the testimony of the love and glory of God? Because that's what we're to do, is do all to the glory of God, right? So even our prayers are made to not be selfish, that it's because of God's love and who He is, so that we can share that and have testimonies. It's a beautiful thing. Unconfessed sin, cherished sin, or past sin never repented of. That's a big hindrance. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. But when we repent, He hears. Amen? That's all we have to do. So if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's one of the areas I think the devil kind of hits us a lot with. We confess, and we hear this little voice, at least I have, because I've backslid, and sometimes I've had to confess the same thing several times because I'm just struggling with something. And you hear that little voice saying, you know how many times you're going to have to ask God? You think He's going to keep... He starts beating you up. And so we have to know that we do that in faith. That's the point where feelings doesn't matter. Just know that God says this. It's there. If you find yourself in the same prayer asking 3-4 times, you got to learn to trust God more. Just ask Him once, it's over, it's a done deal, move on, right? It's a good deal. Idols in our lives, that's anything that comes before God. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of it all by them? In Ezekiel. Idols, false god, any person or anything blindly adored or revered, a figment of the mind, a false conception or notion. People like to paraphrase all that and just saying anything that's between you and God. If something, you spend more time with something else than you do with God, then you may ask yourself, is that an idol, Lord? Is that something that's retarding my growth with you? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Stinginess. Lack of generosity to the needy and to God's work. Proverbs 21 says, whosoever stops his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. When Jesus walked by, if you notice, Jesus, He didn't run around begging people to come to Him and do this stuff. Jesus never turned anybody away that came to Him, did He? And when He came upon people and He seen their need, He ministered to their needs. And that's what we've been given great counsel to do that. It's very simple and it works beautiful. Do you remember the 5 steps in that book, The Ministry of Healing, that we're told? It says that we're to mingle. So we have to mingle, not just in church, but we need to mingle with people in order to witness for the Lord outside and bring souls in. We have to be around them somewhere, somehow, right? He had sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs. Then He said, follow me, right? Unforgiving spirit, not willing to forgive others. That's a big one, and that can be a tough one. I was talking today with someone on that issue. We are carnal. And when somebody offends us or hurts us, the carnal nature of us struggles with forgiving that person and even wanting to like the person. Because we're in a supernatural battle. But when we ask the Lord to come in and we pray, He will make our heart right. Then we receive the supernatural power. We have that spiritual power to forgive. And that love becomes part of our hearts. And probably you who are doing that probably have a bigger blessing than the other person. Or at least the same blessing. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So if I carry my sins, I don't give them to the Lord. Simple gospel message, right? Sin doesn't go back to heaven. So if I don't confess them and give them to Jesus, who dies for the sins? I have to die for my own sins, right? So I will not be with the Lord. When He comes, I won't see Him on the first resurrection. Marital relationships out of balance, lack of respect and kindness. Did you know that's in the Bible? Do you know our marriage has something to do with our prayers? 1 Peter, likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Unbelief in God's word, lack of faith. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that you give to all men liberally and unbraid not. And it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Faith and prayer have to go together. Faith is an action word. It's just something that moves all the time, just like prayer. It's ongoing. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Anything means anything. Again, when we see these hindrances, remember, we can return to the Lord. If you study return in the Bible, boy, the Lord has an awful lot to say about returning to Him. And He's ready for that. Yelena and Dave have to forgive me. There was a special music, and they wanted it before this, and I forgot. And I just seen you smile, and I said, oh, I forgot. So you have to worry about it all the way through, and we'll have it at the end. So we'll be graced with some more special music. Forgive me. Hebrews, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, turning away from God's law. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That is sermons within sermons, just in that quote right there, going into the law and understanding the law. Sometimes we think when we say hearing the law, that also means part of that is understanding the law. It's not just hearing something. I shared before that when I became an Adventist, my first 3 years, about 3 years, I dreaded the Sabbath. I knew the Sabbath was Saturday. I even looked it up in the dictionary. I thought I'd check the world. Even the dictionary tells you the seventh day is Saturday. So I knew all that stuff. But I didn't understand the depth. I didn't understand what I understand now about the Sabbath and how peaceful it is when you understand that. Then it became a joy in the Sabbath. Then you say, well, I wish the Lord gave us two a week instead of one. But I used to look at that watch and say, man, three more hours, because people were pointing out all the time, everything, my kids were little, everything we're doing was wrong. You know, if they went swimming at the lake at a private place, that was wrong. And the list went on, that critical spirit. But by God's grace, I'm still here, and I had a good mentor. And so I would recommend when you bring people to the Lord, stay with them for a while. It makes a big difference. If Vince didn't stay with me, this probably would have been my 21st and last church that I would have, maybe God had a different plan, but my human thinking, because I've been through literally 20 religions and gave up on God for 10 years. And when you see the truth, you can't walk away. And that's what I used to say. I'd say, well, if I walk away, where do I go? Where do I go? So you have to learn to stick it out, right? And anyways, by God's grace, he helped me get through that. And what's an abomination? An object greatly disliked or abhorred, intense aversion, a detestable action. A shameful vice. So the Lord tells our prayers can be that. He wants to spit them out of the mouth. Our prayers can be an abomination. We don't want that. Act of particle of, properly, the Old Testament, something disgusting morally and abhorrence, especially idolatry or an idol. So if you have any idols in our lives, that's an abomination to the Lord. God's law, it defines God's character and our duty to God and man. It's about love, not the way man loves, but the way God loves. Amen? Nothing between. Let's sing Nothing Between. As the song says, we can't have anything between us and our God. That's the hope for the whole weekend, is that we see a need and that the Lord will reveal what is between us so that we can get rid of that. God's grace winks at us when we're ignorant. In the times of this ignorance, God winked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. So the things that we learn and understand, not just this weekend, but any time with God, then we have a responsibility to God to live up to that. So once we are no longer ignorant, then it's a different story. We must desire a repentant heart. We must not resist the Holy Spirit. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Quote, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. 1 Peter. So what do you think the biggest hindrance of all is? Self? It's sure connected to it. We choose to stay in Laodicea. We choose to stay lukewarm. We choose not to ask the Lord for more of His grace. We choose the things that we choose. So when you're doing your spiritual inventories, see what it is that you're choosing. See what it is that you feel you may have to choose or should choose, and then ask the Lord again just to come in, and He'll change your hearts. It changes our hearts. It's personal. We can't do it for each other. All these in Revelation. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I know thy works. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's the Lord crying out to us, children, children. He says, listen to me. I want you with me for eternity. Just say yes to Him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. See, that's conditional, right? He will always knock at our doors. What's the condition? What do we have to do? We have to open the door. Pretty simple. Amen. And he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Half-hearted Christians are worse than infidels. When I first heard this quote, it blew me away, because if you stop and think what an infidel is, if your husband and wife, if you had those type of things, and we're talking about half-hearted Christians are worse than infidels, for their deceptive words and non-committal position lead many astray. The infidel shows his colors. The lukewarm Christian deceives both parties. He's neither a good worldling nor a good Christian. Satan uses him to do a work that no one else can do. So we go to work and pretend we're a Christian. People tell us that stuff, but when we get out of work, we don't live that Christian life. We come to church and think everything is great, but as soon as Sabbath's over, boom, 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 the Lord's talking that's a false witness. We're breaking the Lord's commandments. So what's this all about? Relationships, forming a character fit for heaven. Am I a stepping stone or a stumbling block? Do I encourage or discourage? And our greatest hindrances are from within, not from without. Do you agree? It's true. We have more to fear from within than without. The hindrances to strength and success are far greater from the church itself than from the world. But how often have the professed advocates of the truth proved the greatest obstacle to its advancement? The unbelief indulged, the doubts expressed, the darkness cherished encourages the presence of evil angels and opens the way for accomplishment of Satan's devices. We praise the Lord, keep praising the Lord, the devil will flee. There's nothing that Satan fears so much as that the people of God, that's us, shall clear the way by removing every hindrance so that the Lord can pour out His Spirit. upon a languishing church and an impenitent congregation, when the way is prepared for the Spirit of God, the blessings will come. That's a promise. If you strip yourselves of every hindrance to progress in the Christian life, your minds will be worked by the Holy Spirit, and you will become indeed fishers of men. Amen. We'll sing in his time, and we're almost done. I just had the praise team stay up here and do the sermon, right? It's another beautiful song. If we would just remember when we look at each other as church members, if we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, we won't have any problems. But if we start comparing ourselves to each other, then we start getting this attitude, I'm better than you, or you're better than me, all our sins. So the Lord, he's transforming us in his time. All I suggest is that give him the time to do that in his time. Got a couple more gifts, and then again, a reminder, there'll be some of us up here if anybody needs special prayer, wants special prayer, or even feels the need of an anointing or whatever. The pastor will be up here and a few others, and you can go to whoever or whatever, and don't be ashamed. And if you don't, that's good too. But the offer is there. It said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. What's converted mean? To turn quite around or reverse. Convert, turn. Back again. Otherwise, I'm going to turn my back to sin and start walking toward the light. And I might trip over something, but I get back up and I keep walking toward the light, right? To change into something of different from the properties transform. To change in character, to cause to turn from an evil life to a righteous one. Turn about and change. Worship and obedience. Who do we worship? Who do we be? It's that simple. That is the question throughout the scriptures, from the Garden of Eden to Revelation and the second coming of Jesus. Who do I worship? Who do I be? This people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. All these warnings and the apostles given us. What a loving God. Repent thereof this wickedness. Pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Satan works 24/7. That's why we pray 365 days. And Satan doesn't take holidays off. We may, but he doesn't. So even with a holiday, we should keep the Lord with us. If you're not seeking the Lord in our idols, Satan will take advantage of that condition. And he definitely will. Quote, everyone who stands as an idler in the vineyard of the Lord is not merely doing nothing himself, but he is a hindrance to those who are trying to work. You can overtax people by not participating. Satan finds employment for all who are not earnestly striving to secure their own salvation, salvation of others. So what must we do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's all we have to do is seek. Blessed are they. That blessed means happy. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a promise. Claim these promises in faith. Good news. We've already had the victory through Jesus. Is that good news? As simple it is, but from my experience in the church in 27 years is the gospel has been made too complicated too many times. We use a lot of big words. A few weeks ago, Pastor made a comment, which is so true, about the gospel of Jesus Christ is simple, but it's deep. That makes sense? It's simple, but it's deep. Bringing people to the altar, bringing them to a point where they say, I need something different in my life. That's what we do. We bring them to that altar. That's good news, and they have to understand what repentance is, a few things, but when they're baptized and come out of that water, they now are a different person. They have been forgiven. They have a new journey ahead of them. And the good news is that while they're on that journey, God has his arm around us. He's continuing to justify us why he's fitting us for heaven. It's really simple. Now, we can go deep, but that's the simple gospel, is it not? I repent. I confess my sins to the Lord. Our part, which we fail in Acts chapter 2, if we start going to about verse 40, it says we're to continue daily with these people in fellowship and breaking of bread. We tend to put a lot of attention to get into the baptismal waters, but afterwards it's kind of like good luck, see you next Sabbath, you know? So there's nothing wrong. I'm going to clarify. There's nothing wrong with having a little clique in the church. Now, that sounds funny, because we all have people that we associate with easy and others who are a little more difficult. What's wrong is if we don't want to expand that circle. So as new people come in and you see they're kind of like where you're at, whatever that may be, bring them into your circle instead of just being exclusive. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, righteousness by faith, justification by faith. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Remember, faith is not feelings. And our last quote, so how important is prayer? You know, you have to decide how important is prayer, because prayer takes us to heaven. Faith unlocks the door, and the Lord pours out all of what he has on our behalf. I think that's pretty good news. I know Jerry likes this song. Oh, look at her smile. I think we'll skip it. No. I understand. You know, when you look at this song, it is well with my soul. Spafford, who did that, here's a man that lost his 4-year-old son to scarlet fever, was friends with Moody, wanted to go see Moody preach over in England. Urgent thing came up. He was an attorney. So he sent his wife and 3 children ahead of him, said he'd join up with him. On the way, the ship got in a wreck. It sunk. His wife survived. He lost his 3 daughters. When he was traveling over to meet her, the captain said, this is about where that ship went down. And that's when he went down in just a matter of minutes, wrote this song. Originally, it was called It Is Well. With My Soul was added later. But here's a man that lost his family temporarily. He'll be reunited when the Lord comes. Amen. Sounds like it's well with some people's soul today. Amen. We'll have our special music and sing our closing song. So if special music is still willing and able, come on up, Elena and Dave. And it's nice to see how the Holy Spirit leads. We've had several things today that weren't quite on the schedule, and it's really nice to see him work, isn't it? Because he gives us more blessings. While they're getting set up, is there anybody here who's bought a Bible within this last year? Anybody? One person. Would you like a marker kit for your Bible? This has your tabs and markers. It's a nice little gift. Well, now that y'all have practice with this family, let's stand up. We're going to sing it twice. And those who are close to each other, let's just clasp hands. Dave, go find somebody to hold hands. We are family. We want to stay that way. We need to love each other. Thank you for spending your time. In summary, before I have the pastor give a benediction, we pray because it will change us, right? And it will change the church. And we need to be changed, and we need to be with the Lord. We need the power that God has to fight the power that Satan has. We need to be the disciples that God has asked us to do. We all have a part in this church. If you're a member here, just ask the Lord. And don't let the devil make you think that that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. As I mentioned before, we're in a war. We're soldiers, Christian soldiers. Those people in Vietnam, when we were in Vietnam in that era, if those supply clerks didn't do their job, guess what happens to the people on the front lines? It's all important. I don't care if you're sending a card out, giving somebody a smile. Just ask the Lord, and he will give you things to do. So with that, thanks. Two more books, and the pastor have a benediction. Now I have a little miniature version of the Clear Word. It's just a paraphrase. It's not a Bible, but it's an Adventist paraphrase. Anybody in need of a little Clear Word they like to carry around with them? Was that Sheila? Who? Sheila? All right. Can you give that to Tony? He'll give it to you there. I'm going to double this one. This one is God's answers to simple questions. So we have some newly baptized people. They may have some questions that might make it a little easier for you. Praise the Lord. We're glad that you're here. And we're having fun getting to know everybody. So thanks again. And I forgot to pass out a lot of pass outs, but I have pass outs on forgiveness and faith of Jesus. So if you want that in today's thing that we just went over, hindrances, I'll be glad to give you copies, Pastor.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, for being willing to be used by God. And I want to thank you, all of you, for coming and for staying here. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we are so grateful that you are still open to receive us, mm-hmm. to be with us, to walk with us every day. And as we talked right now, there might be some hindrances in our lives that might prevent us from receiving your blessings. Lord, this is our desire that you will show us if there is something. I pray for myself, for my life, pray for each one of us here. Lord, show us if there's something in our lives that we love more than you, and give us strength and courage to submit that to you. And I know that you are the only one who can help us with that. Yes. I pray that everything that we've heard yesterday and today we will be reminded of as we go from here. And we are anxious to see what you will do mm-hmm. in our lives, in the life of our church. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks again. Again, if anybody wants special prayer, feel free to come up. Don't be embarrassed. We'll be glad to pray with you and for you, and we'll put you on a prayer list. Also, I'm connected to a national prayer web. So if you give me your emails, if you're interested, you ever have a prayer request, if you give it to me, it'll be sent out across the country. So 100, sometimes 1,000 people will get that prayer request and be praying for whatever's on your heart. So if that interests you, feel free. Well, thanks again for coming here and spending time with us. God bless, and by God's grace, we'll see you Wednesday at prayer meeting.